Yo, 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 it's your two brethren, Lizzie and Ilaria.
Yeah. And welcome to episode 25, y'all, of No Ideas.
Just vibes.
And we vibesing.
Always.
Always vibesing.
We love a good vibes. Come on, bread, tell me, how did you get through this week? Plain and simple, what was bringing you through, man?
Okay, so normally I go on and it's a long thing. But I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to keep it to three things.
Look, man, if that's all you got, then we're happy to hear it.
Does that. Okay, so basically, this week was kind of a me week.
Yeah, I love that.
I just worked on myself, figured out what I wanted to do with my time, and I started touch typing.
Now, okay, you said this to me and I was like, do you know what? I'll ask her at another stage. And this stage is our podcast platform.
Here it is.
So
mate,
tell me, what is touch typing?
Touch typing is just when you type fast on a computer without looking down at the keyboard.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't go old like that.
Yeah, because it's like, doesn't everyone know how to do that?
I don't think a lot of people know how to touch type.
Or like you just do it, like, because you type so much. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you. However, don't forget that I've been out of practice typing for a while.
Fair, makes sense. Yeah, you ain't writing as often.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first thing is I can type really quickly when I'm kind of just doing my own thing. But there's a specific way that your hands should sit when you're touch typing that makes it easy then to jump to a question mark and numbers and everything. So I used to do touch typing when I was at school, and I just haven't really continued practicing it for ages. So I just wanted to get back on it and just say, okay, Laura, an hour a day, you're going to sit down, you're going to split screen, you're going to put a TV show on one side, and you're going to touch type on the other and try and watch the show.
What are you typing, though?
Well, it's just a lots of different sentences online.
Okay.
So they just tell you sentences and you just type away. So I type away, I watch a show. And essentially, it's been said that if you can type 90 words a minute, then you're a genius.
Is that it? You know what? Bet I'm going to put that to the test.
Do it. And on average, people type 40 to 50 words per minute.
90 words?
90 words is genius.
60 seconds?
Yeah.
You've got to do the maths about that. That's like, what, two... What's the maths of that?
1.5 words a second.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's wild.
It's
because
wild.
Words, you know, you've got to think of like your prepositions, which are shorter, like your twos and your ands and your as, compared to actual like nouns and verbs, right?
Yeah, and longer words.
Okay, 90 words,
yeah.
You know.
So see where you're at, but the point is, you know, my form isn't perfect. So it's about getting into that perfect form. You know, I always hit O with a different finger than I should.
Yeah.
So it's getting back into that form. But basically, by the end of the year, I want to be a genius. I want to type 90 words
in
a minute.
She's getting those 90 words in a minute, guys. Yeah. Mark her words.
The next thing that I did was I learned how to play Mahjong.
Now, we need to... What's this one?
Okay, so Mahjong, I believe, is a Chinese game.
Mahjong.
Yeah, and it's really hard to explain. I can't really go into it. So just, like, Google it and have a look at a picture.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's really cool. And there are loads of different rules. And it's a strategy game.
So, but, yeah, it sounds like quite brainy.
Yeah, they look like little dominoes almost. But they've got different characters, different suits. And it's just a really exciting game. And my housemate has played for ages and I've been wanting to learn, but I've always said, oh, I've got something on.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm always going to have something on, Ilaria, make the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to play that. It was really good fun. And there are these two guys across the road who she plays with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they came around last night, played with us, and they're like Mahjong heroes. They've been playing since they were at school.
Seasoned Mahjong players.
Yes, honestly. And I came second.
No way!
Yes, buddy!
Game sounds intriguing.
I'm going to be a Mahjong master too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what else are you mastering for the third point of the week?
Okay, so the last thing was one of my housemates asked me just to help her finesse how to use a computer, I guess.
Okay.
And I think when you think about generations that didn't necessarily grow up using computers, it's like if we're giving any new system or software now, yes, it may not be as easy as a computer if in our eyes, but it's hard to get your head around.
It's true.
When you're first navigating Salesforce, for example, or Vidyard.
Yeah.
These were applications we used to use in our sales job.
Awful time.
Or for example, Shopify.
Yes.
Just to learn the functionality, understand the integrations, it's difficult for us.
It is.
So actually a basic computer, which people didn't grow up with in other generations, is difficult.
It's true.
You don't necessarily understand the shortcuts and how to make a bookmark bar in Safari.
Yeah.
So I was teaching one of my housemates, just sitting down with her half an hour a day, helping her with that. And then I spoke to my mum this week and was just telling her that I was doing that. And she goes, oh, you know, some people aren't as lucky to be on a computer all the time like I am. And I was like, great, spot test. And I asked her all these things. Turns out she's been keeping all of her files on her desktop because she didn't know how to find her documents and told me that her desktop files were safer than her documents folder.
What? Desktop, that's where everyone can see everything. Do you know what I mean?
I said they're exactly the same, except for a desktop is essentially a shortcut in a sense.
Yeah, it's just a different storage unit, if you will.
Oh, blimey. My word. So then she realised she couldn't use a computer. Turns out she'd never even clicked on Finder before. I said, how have you never clicked on Finder?
These people don't know, though, Brid. This is what we're here for. We've got to educate the younger generation.
And she just said, my mum said to me, she goes, I've always seen that scary face. And I thought, oh, I better not click on that. I thought, what kind of logic?
No. The Finder on Apple, like, software.
Yes.
No, please.
Where everything is. I was crying.
Is it the two shades of blue that freaks her out?
Yeah, man. It's just a weird face. So... Yeah, it was wild, but I was happy to help her out. And she just said to me, I know so many of my friends, Ilaria, that would really benefit from you just helping them navigate a computer because they're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, what they've all had in common is they say they don't want to ask a young person because they feel like the young person's just going to call them stupid. And so many times their kids have just laughed at them and been like, how do you not know that?
Mm.
But actually, it's a completely new thing.
It's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true, you know, perspective.
And we don't necessarily realise that. Mm. So I think it takes a lot of courage and bravery to reach out for help, especially when other people may perhaps think you're being stupid or laugh at you because it's just such a common skill for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I applaud my mum and my housemate for asking questions and just diving in them. So it was really fulfilling. Nice.
Yeah, I think that's a good... You had a good week, Brit. I love that.
It was lit.
I love that.
It was lit.
You.
So nice and simple.
Yeah.
A lot of me time.
Plain and simple.
There she goes.
You know that 90s song?
I don't know the song.
Is that called Plain and Simple or something? Pure and Simple or something like that.
No idea.
Anyway, you know, how do you do whatever.
Keep it pushing, Brennan. Tell me about your week, man.
Oh, God. Right. So, how did I get through my week? Do you know what? Number one, right, obviously, we can go out and do things. In terms of doing things outside, right? I'm over it already.
Me too.
Over it.
Me too.
Over it. And you know what was the winning sign that I'm over it all?
Tell me.
Because me and my flatmate, we were like, do you know what? On Friday night, let's go out. Let's go and get some drinks down in Shoreditch, right? We walked around for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why not one drink touched my mouth for that whole hour.
I'm telling you, Brit. Unless you book.
Brit.
And then book again. Let's talk about it. We actually cannot go in anywhere freely.
No, not at all. And I feel like that ruins like the spontaneity of just being like, oh, do you know what? Fuck it.
Absolutely.
I fancy a drink. I'm calling this one. Let's go. I'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
Ruined it. I felt like it was just like a fashion walk around Shoreditch. Because we both looked good, but we didn't do anything.
Trust. And you can't just feel like going for a drink and pop out anymore.
No.
You actually have to book or you've got a queue for hours. And on top of that, if you do book, there's a cancellation fee.
Yes.
So if someone falls sick, then you're paying.
Honestly.
The whole thing's a goddamn faff.
Honestly. I get it because I feel like it's just like the transition period. But it's still annoying anyway because it just made me think I don't even want to go out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I went for a meal the other day and had a couple of drinks. After a couple of drinks, because I haven't been drinking much, I was like, yo,
sloshed.
Let's go to a bar.
Yeah, man. Yes.
And then we got up, we walked, and then we went... Oh yeah, we can't go anywhere.
Oh yeah.
We stopped at like five places, couldn't get anywhere. We're like, okay, fuck this shit.
And then places that you do think of might not even have an outdoor area.
Trust and believe. You don't even know anymore.
You don't even know.
Because
my goodness.
Some places without outdoor areas have made them on the street and some haven't. So you kind of check, bruv.
It's honestly, that just really annoyed me. Like, it got me through the week in the sense that, okay, cool. I know that I need to book in advance, which is why my calendar's booked up for the next few weeks. But... yeah, not a massive fan of that. On a brighter note, what got me through the week? You know, some good ass food did me.
Yeah, come on.
Hey,
share.
Mate, so, okay, people who know me know that I, like, dabble in and out of HelloFresh. You know, those, you know, meal prep company. You get your box of ingredients, you cook.
Mm-hmm.
I cook the Pengis stew, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me break it down. Sweet potato, garlic, ginger, chicken stew. Brit, I even gave you some today. Can you talk to the people about it?
It's pretty beautiful. And she said to me, she was like, do you know what? My people actually have to try this.
Honestly, I won't give it to anyone. This is like a team player, like special, like and my you know when, ride or dies.
You know when something's so good, there's when something's so good and you don't want to share it, mm-hmm. and then there's a level up, which is it's so good you can't not share it.
Like, I literally made it and I was like, I would literally be doing my friends a disservice by not letting you try this food. Mm. Like,
and it had a kick, just the right amount. But it was the flavours for me. Packed. Honestly, packed with flavour.
The coconut milk just balanced with the tomato puree so well.
Unbelievable.
Honestly, guys, if you want to make it, go on to HelloFresh and search it. And if you're vegetarian, then just replace the chicken with tofu or something, or chickpeas. But it's just like... Unreal. That got me through.
Wow, I love food, man.
And in the spirit of good food, Brid, we have got some wings waiting for us afterwards.
All I've done in the last couple of weeks is fucking eat Wingstop. Yesterday, I had Wingstop and I ate 16 wings.
Oh, my goodness.
And I could have carried on.
Awful.
Honestly, and today... We went and got Wingstop because where Lizzie lives, she can't actually get it on delivery.
It just doesn't, which is just the most annoying thing ever.
But we ended up in Dalston, and just as we were on our way home, we were like, wait a second.
Hold on.
We think there's a Wingstop
here. We know what's around the corner. I see that green wing.
So we went on over.
Literally.
And yeah, man, wings for days. I'm gassed.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that. But yeah, I feel like my week has been... a high and a low, but we've sealed it up with some good food, and that's good enough for me.
That's so good. And you know what? Someone said to me the other day, they looked at me while I was eating, and I hate people when they watch me eat. Like, I have this thing where I can't actually eat in front of people I don't know. It takes me a while to get comfortable, and there are certain things that, unless you're a brethren, and you have been for years, I'm not eating that in front of you. And they looked at me while I was eating, and I got really uncomfortable, and I looked at them, and I was like... what? And they said,
can I help you?
They said, do you know what I love about you, Ilaria? And I said, well, could be many things. Don't make me guess.
You're a joke.
I know. And they said, I love how much you love food.
Yeah, man.
And I said, is it because I'm a beast? And they said, not even.
Dude.
Every bite you're going, delicious.
Oh, just delicioso.
Honestly. And I thought, those are real friends, the ones who love to watch you eat.
Yes. No, because they can understand the extent of how much that food bangs.
Mm.
And they're like, I'm so glad that you're having that experience because I know I would have the same experience.
Because not everyone feels food in their soul.
No, the way I could go on about flavours. All of my close people, I'm talking about you, Kira. Like, you've heard me talk about food for time, I could go on for ages, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, man.
Well, without us going on, because we really could, do you know what I mean? That's a episode for another time.
It's true.
Hit me with your plug this week. Put the people on something great.
On something great, you ready?
Yeah, man. Okay, come on, let's do it.
So this one, I'm back on the music, you know, something a little bit sweet. Something just to give you... a little bit of a sort of like Caribbean delight sort of
delight.
Flavor. Just something a little bit spicy. So it is a song called Sexy 19, the number 19, by an artist called DeJour. And his name is spelled DeJour. DeJour.
And what kind of genre did you say?
It's like Caribbean, like very much like... dance hall sort of vibe, but it's like a little
there she goes.
You know, one of those ones where you just want to groove, like you're on a beach somewhere in like Dominican Republic, like drinking out of a fucking
coconut isn't it?
you got the jerk in the background just smoking up on the barbecue or
I
something.
Wish you lot could see her dancing right now.
No, honestly, like I heard, like my mate who works in the music industry, he put me onto this song and I was like, like it's just a little bit of a bop. Because at the moment, I don't know about anyone else, I'm prepping my playlist for summer, do you get? Like, I want to just have all the bangers ready and lined up. And I feel like this one is one to add to your quarantine summer playlist.
Banger.
Another Balenciaga.
There she go.
Balenciaga.
I love that one. Go, you know, go check it out,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, you go check it out. Sexy 19 du jour. It'll be in the NIJV Your Daily Bread playlist. Ilaria, hook me up.
Okay, so do you know what? There wasn't anything outstanding I saw this week, probably because I hadn't been on social media.
Yeah.
However, I thought, how have I not plugged these people? I love these people. Mm-hmm. I feel like I plugged them on my story the whole time. I wear all of their clothes.
Literally.
But let's throw them out on this forum as well.
Yes.
It is a clothing brand called Sisters and Seekers.
Yes.
The quality, divine.
Oh.
The branding,
absolutely.
Divine.
Yes.
The message, divine. Mm. The fits, divine. It's amazing. It's created by these two girls. They've done really well. They're now on ASOS, which is a big, big thing for them. So shout out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the colours and I love the quality.
Yeah.
I really want you guys to go check it out. They also have a brother brand called Brother and Kin, but a lot of their stuff is unisex. If you guys have listened to our podcast before, you know I wear a lot of unisex clothing.
Yes.
Love to dress like a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow me to do that.
Honestly.
As well as, you know, they have a lot of feminine stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it kind of touches everyone, but it's the customer service as well.
It's so lovely.
The packaging.
Full round package.
Mm.
It's Sisters and Seekers.
It's honestly, they've just got everything spot the fuck on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know how to be professional and colloquial.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to make you it feel personal.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, expand and deliver in big quantities.
Yes.
Their ideas are amazing in terms of, you know, media and marketing and...
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's spot on. So
great.
Go check them out. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And more than anything, you know, their clothes are banging.
Yeah.
And they're a small business, ma'am.
Yeah, just, you know, the clothes, like, I just love their tracksuit sets. Like, in terms of this style of clothing, it's very much like tracksuits, T-shirts, you know, like, baggy stuff that you can just sort of make your own. I love how versatile you can be with
versatile. So versatile.
It's
correct.
It's just, mate, my boxy tee, my black one, I absolutely love it. I can wear it all the time.
They're the dream. And you know what? Every time I wear their shit, someone's like, yo, where's that from?
On insane.
Yeah.
Where's that from?
And also,
Sis and Seeker sis.
When you see another sis out there wearing their shit, you're like, that's a sis. Like, do you remember when we went to Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
And we looked to the left and
she was in the concrete set as well.
Yes.
I was like,
and we both looked and we were like, that girl's in Sisters and Seekers.
She
done though. Lizzie even said to her, yo, that's the concrete set.
Yeah,
isn't
man.
It? And she went, yeah, man.
Yes.
And it's just, there's something about, if you know about Sisters and Seekers, you kind of feel a little special.
Yeah.
I respect anyone who buys from there.
Honestly.
And I want to be their mate.
Honestly. Because I know you have good
you
taste.
You see the vision.
And you have an eye for quality,
quality.
As well.
Quality. And you're not willing to compromise on quality for nothing.
Not at all, fam.
Yeah, man. So that's
great
them.
Plug.
Thank
Can't
you.
Go wrong with them.
Thank you.
Right. So let's dive straight in.
Head first.
Okay. So yeah, the main topic. Yeah. What we're going to digest, you know, dissect. Divide and multiply.
My favourite word, unpack.
Yeah, unpack, man.
You know
we're going to slice and dice something, okay?
Okay, get there.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, let's go.
And I just want you to tell me what you think about this, you know, what your opinion is, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, Brid, Ilaria.
Come then.
To what degree should we help people not make mistakes that we can foresee?
Okay.
Lay it on me, man. Because it's deep. Like, think
it's interesting.
About it.
It's interesting.
You know?
Read that one more time for me, please.
Yes, man, of course. To what degree should we help people not make mistakes that we can foresee? So basically, how involved should we get when we can see someone that we love, that we know, they could be on the path to making a mistake? How involved do we get? Do we let them do their thing or do we intervene? Do we just put, look, BTW, I think this, but do your own thing anyway.
I think that is a very interesting question.
It is. It's a whole discussion, you know.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I'm going to apply it to my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And let's use that as a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Because for absolute strangers, it's not my place.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Like that.
It's not my place.
Yeah.
But for my friends, I think it's so interesting.
Mm.
And I think it's definitely has to be for me on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean just by individual.
Mm-hmm.
That means by individual and situational.
Yes.
This may sound really nasty, but there have been times when I've seen my friends going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them, do you think that's the wisest decision?
Mm-hmm.
Them answered, yeah, obviously it is. I know their character and I know that they're being stubborn. Mm. And I know that if I give them all the information they need, they would change their answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't give it to them in that situation.
Mm.
Now, some people would look and say, why wouldn't you stop that?
Yeah.
However, I have learned the majority of important lessons by making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say it's on a case-by-case basis, if it's going to lead you to your death,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll probably talk you out of it.
Yeah.
But if it's a lesson that I feel like you need to learn,
mm-hmm.
then to a degree we need to let people make those mistakes because we all need to have our own life experiences to really understand the gravitas of the situation and also what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
But then again, okay, so say for example...
Yeah, go on.
If there was a situation where your friend, you know, where your friend was going to do something, you did not give her the advice that she may have needed.
Mm.
And then she did this thing and it ended up in a detrimental way.
Mm-hmm.
Would you feel guilty for not saying anything? Because she wouldn't have known that you thought that initial thing because you didn't tell her.
I completely get that. I do get what you're saying.
Mm.
Again, I think it's situational. But to give you an answer, yes and no. I totally believe in tough love.
Mm.
And I think if that's a lesson that has come up a couple of times and I've saved them, if you like, a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
and they're still making the same mistake,
then that's not
they need to feel the pain to learn.
Yes.
Because ultimately, all I'm doing is keeping that person in a safety net or bubble,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same thing as living in your parents' house and not making a decision for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in your parents' house, they cook food, they do your washing, they change your sheets, you don't have to do a food shop, you don't have to have a job, you know, you sponge off your parents. You never learn how to be you.
Mm-hmm.
You never understand what it is to be you, what you
actually
think.
Actually becoming an individual,
right?
You know, coming into your own person. Because I feel like you only do realise that from experiences, but... You know, some people are genuinely so afraid of, like, taking that leap. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hear people, even, for example, like, making the jump from, like, going from college to uni.
Mm.
Like, some people are so homebound. The thought of being away from home genuinely scares them. And sometimes it affects them after uni.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Post-uni, even though you've lived outside of your home for 3 or 4 years, when you then go back and then you have to move out again... It's like, oh my God, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't move out because I'm so comfortable.
Mm.
But then how do those people really grow unless you get involved?
Exactly. Now, let me use this as an example then. If you saw one of your friends and they said, oh, I really want to go to uni. And you thought, you're someone who shouldn't go to uni.
Mm.
You're going to get in debt to waste 3 years of your life, sleeping around and getting wasted because your parents never let you at the house.
Yeah.
It is not your prerogative to tell that person whether they should go or not go.
No.
Ultimately, even if they go and they drop out after year one, like you expected, the multitude of lessons that they will learn both about themselves and how the world works is far more beneficial than your protection.
Yes.
So I think you have to weigh that up in that situation.
That's a good point, actually.
Do you know what I mean?
Balancing the two out.
Exactly. It's completely about balancing, you know, the positives and the negatives and understanding, you know, which will create the strongest and best lessons.
Yes. I think it's about the way how you, like, present that information to someone. Like, if someone comes to you and they're like, okay, I'm not sure how to do this, what do you reckon? Or what's your opinion of this? Mm. Instead of just telling them straight up, I think this because X, Y, Z, you have to sort of communicate it like as if you're in their shoes. So like, okay, if you're stuck between two things, weighing out the pros and cons of each decision, because at least you know you've you know, like assessed everything, you have the full picture so that, you know, at least whenever you do make a decision, you know what you've sort of let yourself in for or what you've lost as a result of choosing that option. The opportunity cost, is that the right word?
Yeah, I'm happy to go with that.
No, I'm remembering that from like A-level economics, I think it is opportunity cost. Of like the next like best benefit foregone, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting what you've just said there because That, exactly what you've said there about weighing up both sides is exactly how I view advice. Don't get me wrong. If someone comes to me and asks for advice, the first thing I will do is I will expose this side of the story or coin that they're not seeing.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't matter if I agree with what they're seeing or not. I will always give you a balanced view. In my opinion, my job as a friend is to show you both sides of the coin so that you can make a more informed decision.
Yes.
It is not for me to make a decision for your life.
Of course.
It is for me to lay everything out, help you see the entire picture, and then you decide what you're going to do moving forward.
Do you think you're more like inclined to give advice depending on the situation? So for example, there are so many things that we can be indecisive about, right? Like, do I go for this type of wing or this type of wing? You know, do I go for this job? You know, should I go on another date with this guy? Do you think it changes per situation, like how involved you want to get in, depending on like how much you know?
Absolutely. I think there are times when you need to put your foot down and be like, this is not working, because you can see from an outside perspective that it's not a good thing or it's toxic. To use an example for that, one of my best friends and longest friends was going out with this hideous guy at one point. I'm not someone to step in that respect, but it got really bad to the point where it was, you know, something that myself and many friends couldn't take. And at that point, you have to actually deliver the hardcore facts and say, listen, sis, X, Y, Z, this is not on. Have some self-worth. Because what I'm seeing is you compromising on who you are as a being. And compromising is good, but what you're compromising is your positive traits to allow abuse in multiple different ways. So I think in that instance, I would definitely get involved. But yes, I do think it's situational. And I think if it pertains to somebody's, you know, character or life decision, I can't make that decision for them. But if it's small decisions like today when we went to Wingstop, I've tried most of the flavours. I know your palate. I know what you like. I'm saying, Brid, don't even fuss with the shoulda, woulda, coulda. Right?
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, bitch.
Yeah, I'm saying you're going to like this and you're going to like this, and that's your best value for money. Fact. Let's keep it pushing. I know you. And I you trust that. I know you, and that's that.
No, that's why I went with what you suggested, because I was like, yeah, you know, you do know me, you know, so you know what I'd like. That's interesting. But I feel like with these situations, I feel like it's so sticky because I'm the same in the sense that, you know, it is very circumstantial. I can't just go and, you know, put my foot down for whatever, because it's not my place to say. And I really do feel like everyone's story or everyone's journey in life is written in a specific way. And some things I'm meant to intervene on and some things I'm not. But for the things that we want to intervene on, say, for example, if it's like, I don't know, a guy, for example, let's just use that as an example. How can we really, like, foresee these mistakes that we're trying to prevent? Do you know what I mean? Like, I know some, you're going to use evidence, you know, based on behavioural traits or whatever. But, like, what about the what if, the, like, hopeful situation? Like, whether it's a guy who needs to change or something, or who needs to treat someone a bit better, or girl, for example. Let me not throw hate on the guys, for example. But, like, how can we foresee these mistakes when they don't even happen yet?
I think when we say foresee, what we do is we apply our own similar experiences to that of another. And I think that's where we can go very wrong.
Yes. Yeah, that is so. We bring our own experiences and, and try to like match like for like, when realistically it's not the same thing at all.
However, it can be helpful.
But, to provide context.
But again, what we do is we take our own experiences. We understand that it may not be what you think. It could be something else. And we, again, show you the other side of the coin.
Yes.
And we show you the other side of the coin based on experience that have happened to us and that we've helped other people deal with. Again, if you're using your own experience and saying, this guy's a fuckboy, based on that, you're wrong. You're wrong to say to your friend that that boy is a fuckboy unless the evidence from their direct situation reads that.
Yes,
if,
that's true.
If you're saying that this action, you know, you take an action, yet say, you know, a guy, you have a guy over, he gets up the next day and leaves really early, or his phone keeps ringing late at night, and you're saying it's his missus. No, he could be a drug dealer. No, his mum could be sick. True. His dog could have run away.
Yeah.
It could have been a million things.
There's so many different things.
But if you're taking that and applying, you know, an experience of your own to that and outrightly making a decision or judgment for somebody else, you're using that experience in the wrong way.
Terrible way. You're basically tainting whatever could have happened or whatever could happen for that other individual.
And the way that you're helping, in case he is a fuckboy, is you're saying, it could be this. Alternatively, you're right in feeling this. If you're saying, he's buzzing, you know, my phone because he's a fuckboy, and I think he's a fuckboy, I'll still say, could it be because his dog's run away?
Yeah.
Could it be because a family member's ill? You just give someone the full picture so that they can start picking up on these things and create their own trend to then justify their decision and hopefully make the right one.
I think it's a very important, like, you know, skill to sort of balance when, you know, talking to your friends. Because I feel like sometimes in friendships, you know, you'll have that person who's so, like, who's very, very opinionated, but in the wrong way. And then, like, the other friend who is receiving the advice may start to feel like a bit of resent towards you. Like, why are you always bringing such negativity to my life? Do you know what I mean? And I think in some ways that relationship could become toxic. Do you know what I mean? So for the individual who is receiving that advice, it's a bit of an awkward situation to be in, because realistically you want to think that it that they're saying this from, you know, with the best of interest at heart, but it's like, by you doing that, you're actually bringing me down. You're not, I don't feel like I'm going forward, because all I'm hearing is how it could go so wrong for me, or because it's gone so wrong for you, this is likely to happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think it's important to use our personal experiences carefully when applying to others.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a fine line between catastrophe, you know? And I think, yeah, that's something I'd, if I was anyone out there, I'd really focus on, because, you know, the person you're talking to is not you. Their life experience, their situation, their mind is different.
Yeah.
Their relationship or the decisions they want to make are different, whether it's a relationship or it's a job or it's a hobby or it's them working with someone on something. You know, just understand that their decision has to be their own.
Yes.
The only thing you can do is help facilitate in terms of providing more knowledge. And I really strongly think if someone says to you, what should I do?
Yeah.
When it comes to a life decision, not a which TV shall I get? When it comes to a life decision, unless you're a fucking expert, and even still, I think you should be very, very cautious not to give them a definitive decision.
Yes.
Because it's not your life.
It's not.
Remember that.
Don't outrightly say no, like, or yes. Like, provide context, you know what I mean? Give them reasoning as to why this could lead in that direction, but not being so strong with that opinion.
Absolutely.
I think in summation, you know, I think realistically, with the relationships that we have with, you know, our friends, our family, whoever we're in, you know, whoever we meet in life, I think a baseline for me is I will be honest with you as far as I can go. I will always be real. If I respect you and I value you, so to all my team players, I do that. I will tell you how it is. If I feel annoyed, I'm going to say it. If I'm, if, you know, I need help on something, I will ask of your opinion. But I think it's just balancing out which ones you can really help steer in terms of a direction and which ones you have to leave to fate. Really.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, I think you should never be afraid to say, I have no idea what to do.
Yes.
We always feel like we have to have an answer.
Sometimes I don't fucking know.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
All you can say is, listen, I don't have a fucking clue. What I can tell you is I will hold your hand and be by your side every step of the way.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can connect you with someone who may know.
Yeah, man.
Don't feel like we've got to have an answer for everything, guys. Because, again, you can make a real fuck up, you know?
A real bug up.
But in the essence of passing on good things, what, Briddy, by your standards, can we take into next week as a tip?
As a tip. We love it. So, I'm currently obsessed with the bold type on Instagram.
Oh,
courtesy of Ilaria.
God.
Absolutely obsessed. And I just love this quote, or this way of life, this mantra. And
I'm telling you, it changes your life. I told you last week, and we'll say it again.
Honestly, I feel like we're like the bold type, like, advocates right now.
Be bold,
we're,
lads.
We're trying to be the bold type.
Isn't it?
So, guys, for this week, I want everyone to try to learn to be quietly determined and independent. Stay low key and then pop out.
That's it.
Have them like, what? Since when? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, since when? I feel like the joy, the way the cherry tastes, right? Once people don't know about your business, it's like, yeah, I did do that shit because I believed in myself and I kept myself grinding. Even though I didn't have, you know, outwardly support from everyone, I didn't even need that because I believed in my dream that much and that was the fuel and my determination got me to where I am today. So when you see me on the top shining, best believe I had my back in this, and realistically, that's all that matters.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
And do you know what's so weird is that I saw a girl on Instagram literally pop up today and I actually messaged her about something, like a bit of work, and I hadn't heard back from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, where is this person? She doesn't post in ages. She's normally quite frequent. Mm-hmm. Her whole brand is on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She pops up today after months and goes, sorry, guys, I haven't been around. And she's sitting in a kitchen and she goes, just bought my first house. And I thought to myself, do you know what?
Nah, that's the flex you want.
That's
bro.
It. That's you want flex. To be a jack in the box and pop out. And everyone's like,
what? Since when?
Do you know what I mean?
Have them like, what? Since when?
Just like that. Yeah, man.
Quietly determined, but independent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Try that this week, guys. Lars, tip me up, man.
So, there's a great Instagram page that I only followed recently.
Mm.
You kind of see a quote on someone's story and you think, that's interesting. So you check out the page and then you realise they're literally a prophet.
No, honestly,
so you start following.
Yeah.
So this is called Frontline Therapist.
Okay.
And this is the quote I want to read today.
Mm, give it to me.
So here it goes.
Mm.
Live without pretending.
Mm-hmm.
Love without depending.
Mm.
Listen without defending. Speak without offending.
Yes. What?
And I love that because the live without pretending, sometimes we live a life and we're pretending to be someone we're not. Instagram live is a perfect example.
100%.
Love, you can love someone without being dependable.
Dependent. Yeah, but dependent on them on loving them. You because you need to love yourself before you can love anyone else.
But also dependent on them for anything you do, for you know, validation, anything.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen without defending. How many times does someone say something and before you've even heard the rest or you let them land...
You get your back up like... Duh, 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 duh.
And you jump in.
Yes.
Listen and don't assume that people are trying to, you know, target you in that speech. They're just saying what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And if their MO is speak without offending...
I love it.
You'll be able to listen without defending more.
Exactly.
So I want you guys to pass that around because if everyone out there that you pass this to starts speaking without offending, you'll be better equipped to listen without defending.
Mm-hmm.
100%. So go do that. I love those four things.
No,
and go follow Frontline Therapist as well because...
I think I might even follow.
Yeah, I love a lot of their quotes.
We love good quotes like that. Wow.
Well, I think that's a chicken wrap, my Brids.
I think that's another bread baked in the NIJV bakery.
There it is.
It's been your girl, Lizzie.
And it's Hilarious.
Ah,
we out.